And forgiveness this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22. Isaiah 60, 1 through 22. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth and the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along the clouds like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me, and in the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open, and they will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, and the cypress tree together, to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet, and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. And you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then will all your people be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will do this swiftly. Our God is a holy God, and he saves us to be holy, and he calls us to live holy lives. And God's will for life this morning is taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. These are the words of God. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let us pray unto the Lord and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? Our sermon text this morning is Ephesians 5, verses 7 through 20. Ephesians 5, 7 through 20, brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it by faith and do not harden your hearts. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the time is fast approaching, and we can feel it. If the recent weather is any indication, winter is approaching, and with winter comes snow. Here in South Dakota, we have experienced those days where the snow falls and falls, and accumulates and accumulates. And whether it's in the yard, on the sidewalks, driveways, or roads, we need to move the snow. The plows will come out. We'll break out our shovels, the tractors, and skid steers, and we'll move the snow. The snow will be built up, but the blades will cut into it and push it out of the way. We may have a lot of snow built up, but we push it out of the way. The Bible uses a similar description concerning light and darkness. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters and pushed away the darkness. Darkness was not yet connected to sin at that time, but darkness was not ideal. God said on the first day, "Let there be light," because light is ideal. The Word and the Spirit pushed away the darkness. Light pushes darkness away. Darkness, by definition, is the absence of light. In the evening, it gets dark. Darkness does not come over the land. Light leaves the land. The sun sets. In the morning, darkness doesn't leave. The sun rises, and the light pushes away the darkness. When you walk into a dark room, you turn on a light, and the light pushes the darkness away. When the Son of God came in His incarnation, the Apostle John wrote, "In the Son was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." The Son of God came into the world to shine His light into darkness. He came to push away the darkness. And this is how God works. He uses His light to push away that which is not ideal for what is ideal. The Son of God came into the world to shine His light into darkness. He came to push it back. And the Apostle Paul uses this analogy in Ephesians 5 to explain God's people and the people of the world. The Apostle Paul described God's people as the light. Verses 7 through 10, Paul writes, "Do not be partners with the Gentiles. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Paul writes, apart from Christ, we were darkness. Absence of Christ is absence of light. Because of the fall, darkness is now associated with sin. We were in darkness. We were in sin. Does this sound familiar? Throughout Ephesians, Paul says, this is what you were. Now this is what you are. You were dark, but now you are light. You are no longer darkness. And this is a truth that Paul repeated because it bears repeating. By the grace of God, you are no longer in sin. No longer in darkness. You are light. And not only is darkness not ideal, because of sin, darkness is bad. Because it's apart from Christ. And darkness is sin. Now God has sent His light into His Son to push away sin and darkness. If I could have the children come forward, please, for the children's message. May I please see your eyes? Good job. The Lord be with you. Who can raise their hand and tell me what have I been talking about in the first half of the sermon? Okay. Light and darkness. That what you were going to say? You were going to say that too? Okay. Who can raise your hand and tell me in the morning when we see light, from where does that light come? The sun. The sun gives us light. Now, sometimes at nighttime, it can be kind of bright outside, a little bit. Who can raise their hand and tell us what gives us light at nighttime? Lights, yeah, we have lights that give us light, but up in the sky, something gives us light. The moon. Raise your hand if you've ever seen the moon bright, like a full moon. Okay, good job. Hands down. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Does the moon make light? Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. Does the moon make light? Okay, thumbs down, right. Who could raise their hand and tell us where does the moon get its light? The sun. Who can raise their hand and explain that to us? How does the moon get light from the sun? Dean?
The moon reflects the light from the sun.
The moon reflects the light from the sun. Thumbs up if you agree with that. Thumbs down if you disagree. Yeah, thumbs up. The sun shines on the moon, and the moon reflects. That was a good word that Dean used. The moon reflects light. Okay? Now I want you to kind of change your minds a little bit. Who can raise their hand and tell us who is really the source of light? Who really gives all light? Abby? God. God gives light. Now, the Apostle Paul says, you are light. So I want you to put two and two together here. Try to put it together. If God is the source of light, and we are light, who can raise their hand and tell us, where do we get our light? I like how fast some hands went up. Paige? Where do we get our light? The sun, okay? But if God gives all light, where do we get light really from? God, very good. Very good. God is the source of all light. In fact, God gives the sun light. And he gives us light. So when we love and serve in the world, can I see your eyes on me, please? When we love and serve in the world, who's working through us there? God, very good. And if we shine light, who's really shining on us? Hessel? God. God? Very good. Okay. Have you ever heard the song, "This Little Light of Mine"? I'm going to let it shine. Where do we get our light from? The sun. The sun. And where does the sun get its light? God. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon us. Will you fold your hands, close your eyes, and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us in your image and saving us in your Son. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to shine your light and to show your love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can head back to your seats. God's people are to be children of light. We are to reflect the light of God to the world that is in darkness. And we do that by imaging God, living as he commands us to live. Don't live in darkness, the darkness from which God saves you. Verses 11 through 13. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So, brothers and sisters, consider the corrupt lifestyles that exist in our nation and in our world today. People apart from Christ do deplorable and wicked deeds because they are apart from Christ. They're apart from the light. The Holy Spirit tells us here, don't live like them. You were saved in Christ. Don't even talk about what they do because God will expose their wickedness. By the faithfulness of God's people, our light will push away their darkness. Now, we don't do it ourselves. We don't push away the darkness ourselves. God does it. When we live faithfully and walk in the light, reflecting Christ's light, He, God, will expose and convict their evil deeds. So, brothers and sisters, walk in the light. Don't walk as in darkness. Verses 14 through 16. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. This is a very similar message from last Lord's Day, from chapter 4, where Paul writes, don't live like them, live in Christ, do good. When there exists no real difference between the lifestyles of God's people and the lifestyles of the world, wickedness grows. And the light of Christ, reflected in God's people, grows dimmer and dimmer. Therefore, darkness grows. A recent picture was released of a nighttime satellite photo of the countries of North Korea and South Korea. If you don't know, North Korea is a family-run dictatorship nation where Christianity is essentially a crime, though officially it's considered a free religion. Many people in North Korea live in prison camps. South Korea, however, is a hotbed of growth for Christianity. In fact, at this time, South Korea is sending missionaries to the United States to spread Christianity. And in this photo, nighttime photo, satellite photo of the two nations, we see light and darkness. Can you guess what the two countries look like at nighttime? North Korea is essentially black. You see a couple lights at the Capitol. When you look at South Korea, lights all over the whole country. Why? Because evil likes darkness. Evil hates light. When are the majority of crimes committed? At nighttime. The gospel is spreading in South Korea, and God's people are shining light, His light, in dark places. The Apostle Paul wrote similar words in Romans chapter 13, which we've heard from already, but I'll repeat verses 12 through 14. The night is nearly over. This is the first century. Paul's writing to first century Christians, and he says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If you consider what happens at daytime, the sun rises and the sun rules over the day. The first century Christians were anxiously, excitedly awaiting the coming of the day. And that time is now. The sun reigns, the sun rules. Now, we're no longer under the dark domain of Satan. Christ is shining His light in the world. And He's sending His Spirit-led people to live righteously as light in the dark world as He pushes away the darkness. Brothers and sisters, we are light, and God pushes back darkness through us with His light. He did it in the beginning with the Spirit of God. He did it by sending His Son into the world to take on human flesh, to suffer and die, to rise victoriously and ascend into heaven. And now He's telling us to be light, to reflect His light to the dark world by living for Him, obeying Him, showing the grace and love of Christ to those still in darkness. So, brothers and sisters, go forth, reflect the light of Christ, for He is the Son of Righteousness. And He goes forth out of His tent as the warring bridegroom, and He leads us, little lights, to reflect His light. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your creative and recreative work that